This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you. Always one of our favorites. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast and Locked On NFL Scouting podcast. So been a busy, busy few months for Kyle as kind of break down now that the draft's over, Kyle, of I'm still looking, and I, like a lot of people, probably kind of put together a little depth chart of what it looks like and who realistically can play and how you upgrade things. And we still look a little light at some positions, especially cornerback. I think we're still light at offensive line. And do we need a defensive tackle that can pass rush a little bit of a Christian Calais combination?
Yeah. I think the first thing for me is I'm not surprised coming out of the draft with the needs that they had that were on the other side. And you look at it and say, we still got some needs.
Yeah, right.
I think the second wave of free agency that you're starting to really see kick off now with a couple of announcements of agreements with deals with Emmanuel Ogbonna at Jacksonville and Robert Woods signing. I think that they'll have a chance to get a few names off of this group. I do agree with you, probably a position flexible offensive lineman, whether that's a veteran player like Daniel Brunskill, who used to play in San Francisco, is familiar with the scheme. I certainly agree that they need some veteran experience at corner, unless they're just going to roll super young, which what could possibly go wrong there. And I do think you need at least one more defensive lineman that's probably a 300 snap type of guy, whether that's I don't think you need the heavy-bodied stuff, I agree. I don't know how much pass rush juice I'm worried about, more so versus somebody who could do some of the stuff that Deshaun Hand did, playing kind of in the B-gap over top of tackles as a base end type thing. You think back to the Baltimore scheme, and they always had a name like Brent Urban there who was long, physical, but wasn't necessarily, hey, he's going to live in the A-gaps and really just clog stuff up. He has the ability to kind of help you set the edge as a base end and have somebody athletic play outside of him.
Besides Kenneth Grant, who I still – do you see, before we get into Kenneth Grant, their first overall pick, do you see him having pass rush skills down the road or somebody can stay in on second and third and long?
Yeah, I do. I think he has that kind of initial quickness, and with the mass that he has, it's really just a matter of making sure that you're clearing hands, because if he gets hip to hip with guys, he's so athletically like bursty, but also has the kind of mass that you're not going to have a lot of success washing him out. So I think for Kenneth, it's really just a matter of how do you get to hip relationships more consistently. I think he has enough initial short area burst to do it. But I would not be surprised if that's part of his kind of developmental curve and you don't see that right away. And I think that's fine. I like the pick of Kenneth Grant. I think he's been typecast as a nose tackle by a lot of folks because of his weight, but he played 72% of his snaps in his career at Michigan playing in the B gap.
Yeah. And I try to tell Omar that we got to stop with the nose tackle too much stuff. Because some of these guys, you can't have like four nose tackles. You got to have some guys that got to play out a little bit. Jordan Phillips, Zeke Biggers, what's your take on where they fit in and how quickly can they help this team?
Yeah, I think Biggers has kind of a longer road to playing defensive snaps. What's interesting about Zeke is he does have 4 career block kicks, and he's 6'5" with an 85-inch wingspan and a 34.5-inch vert. So, it's a small part of the puzzle. But if he's going to line up on one of the guards on field goal block team, right? Like, I think that's kind of a pathway for him potentially to dressing on some game days if he gets in here and shows enough usage as far as consistently playing low. I think that's the big thing for Zeke because he's a long, twitched-up guy. But the pad-level stuff with him is I think, going to be the big determination for him and how ready he is to play. You don't have that problem with Jordan Phillips. All 6'1.5" of him, he's built like a fridge, Joe. I saw him up close in person in Dallas this year for the Shrine, and he looked like he had 10% body fat. Like he's got a great build to play inside and a ton of natural leverage, and he's got some quickness too. I think he's more of a run penetrator than he is a pass rusher as well. So I think that edge rush group of Phillips, Chop, and Chubb, those guys on obvious downs are going to do a lot of your heavy lifting from a pass rush perspective. It's just you got to be good on the early downs to get the third longs.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because once you get 3 defensive tackles, everybody wants to know, hey, how many of them can play? How do they play them? Can some of them play together and all those type of things?
Yeah.
So we end up, we need a cornerback. And I guess the only thing that was kind of disappointing for me, I haven't talked to you about this, but and I know they had to move up to get their guard, so they gave up their 3rd-round pick, but not taking one of those cornerbacks. There were a bunch of them that went in the 3rd and 4th round. You think they tried to get somebody during that time, move up and make a move?
I do. I had heard some suggestions after kind of debriefing with people that I know that are around the league that there may have been some efforts kind of on early day 3 looking for a corner. But they end up getting an athletic guy in Jason Marshall there at 150 who the physical skill set's not the problem with him. Like he has all the goods to play. It's more so the consistency for him than I guess the solace that I take is they've been able to find some guys off the beaten path. You think about Kader Kohu and Nick Needham in recent years, and they've had some guys that slipped through the cracks and have found functional corners, and he's got the traits to be a functional corner. So I think it's not a bad consolation to if they were indeed doing what I heard that they were doing. It's really just a matter of how quickly Jason comes in and can be a lot more consistent with his play on a down-by-down basis.
Well, that's the big thing. Your defensive coordinator's got to trust you, and that's been that's been a problem for some guys. It looked like at times during practice when we're out there and in preseason, they have some good plays. But if they're not playing and we see guys go down, then I go, well, defensive coordinator doesn't have trust yet, whether it's, you know, Storm Duck played a lot, but Ethan Bonner, who had a great camp, and they're going, man, the guy can play. And then they're going, well, can he play? Because there's not a lot of confidence that we've seen in games where he's had opportunities to play. Is there any veteran cornerbacks? I looked at all of them, including some local guys that are still young. They're either a bunch of guys that have had injury problems or guys are just are aging coming off injuries. So how do you find a guy? You do need a veteran guy.
Yeah, I know. I believe it was Barry Jackson reported that Rasul Douglas was a name that they had expressed some interest and reached out to. And I think that would be a great kind of name to put into this room, assuming you're moving on from Ramsey. And getting older, it's kind of like the bet that you placed on Kendall Fuller last year as far as an aging corner. And you never really know exactly how that's going to go throughout the course of a long season. But he could play at a high level. He's played at a fairly high level recently, but you know he's got that age wall that hit so many corners so fast that's right there. So I would not be interested personally in Asante Samuel Jr. is kind of the big name that's still out there in free agency, and a guy who's a little bit more undersized if they want to be more physical in the secondary, and then he's also had some shoulder stuff. And I think he's probably going to price himself out of what Miami's probably willing to pay too.
Yeah. So how do you feel about Storm Duck? He had some good moments last year. Speaking of free agent, what do you think of him?
I think you see the length and the burst.
Right.
And I think he has the ability to be a physical player. I can't really shake that Green Bay game, which for me was a rough showing for Storm, and it had some costly miscues, and I think it kind of underscored his lack of experience. Now, if he takes that experience this offseason and being in the same scheme and that helps him and he takes a leap, I don't think we'll know until training camp or early in the season. But I'm totally fine with him being a part of the competition for reps, because I think you have a lot of young guys at corner that should all be competing with each other, and
right.
Somebody's going to level up their game. But for me, that was the big thing with Storm, was in that big moment when he had the opportunity to play in that big game, there were a couple of reps that maybe weren't played ideally, and it kind of cost Miami when that game was getting away from him.
So we go on and on about defense. I got to hit the other big area that people are screaming right now at me. Offensive line depth, we don't have it. Liam Eichenberg is basically, when you look at your starting five, and Liam is the next backup, and Larry Borum, if you think he's good, is one of those guys. We need more guys. You got to get some more guys, right? We had great backup tackles last year from a young guy and a veteran on the other side. Now one's starting and the other one's gone to another team. You got to get some more guys in there you trust with some snaps, don't you?
Yeah. I would not totally dismiss the return of Keon Smith, who made a really promising leap in 23 and then tore his knee in 24 in the preseason, and we didn't see him all year. So I think Keon Smith is a worthy name to acknowledge, is probably worthy of a roster spot. At a tackle spot, and he's done some inside-outside stuff in preseason the last couple years, playing guard, playing tackle. So I would put Keon Smith into that conversation. I would like to get whether it's I mentioned Daniel Brunskill earlier from San Francisco, most recently was in Tennessee, or a Joe Noteboom who was with the Rams, you know, very familiar with the terminology, because those are a couple guys that have stops with the Shanahan coaching tree and all the terminology of the offense. Noteboom can play guard and tackle as well. I think you get one more guy that really has some flex, and you go across the board outside of Patrick Paul. You got Sava Ania, who can play guard and tackle, and you've got James Daniels, who could play guard, center, guard, and you've got Austin Jackson, who historically has played both tackle and also guard.
But don't you want to play those guys? Not to cut you off, but those guys, I love flexibility, and I understand guys get hurt. God, yeah. Do we know offensive lines get hurt. We've seen a bunch of it. We need to get one guy at one position, though, don't you? Don't we have a guy that needs to focus at one, yes?
Yeah, and for me, it's Patrick Paul, and then it's James Daniels, and then it's Aaron Brewer, and then it's Sava Ania on the right side next to Austin Jackson. And then in a perfect world, those guys stay healthy and play all 17 games. But I'm just, if you've got, and then your depth guys can play all those spots as well. So I think you want to have a higher floor for the next man up. They seem to have some conviction for Larry Borum. But I guess my point is, if you get one more guy, really, Liam Eichenberg could be the third backup at either tackle or guard, and really the only place he's a true backup is at center.
Right. Yeah. No, we're just taking a look. Any other position, safety position, who do you like there if you were guessing right now, just the work that everybody's done? And I know we got a rookie that was a sixth-round pick last year that hasn't played that much and was active late in the year. But who would you expect to start if you were to guess two guys from this group, including a rookie that they just drafted?
It's probably Melifonwu and Ashton Davis to start the year. I'm interested to see the battle between Trader and McMorris and Elijah Campbell. I think that's a wide open spot. And if you told me one of the young guys by the end of the year kind of made the big leaps, they're both really smart guys. And Elijah's a smart guy too, but Elijah's just been in the league a little longer and kind of has a more defined special teams role that I could see him, you know, either sticking to that or potentially getting pushed off of by these younger guys. So if you told me one of the younger guys by midseason or by the end of the season ended up pushing past one of the veteran guys, I'd be surprised if it was Melifonwu, just because of the versatility and all the things that he can do. but I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Ashton Davis came in and played, what, 5 years with the Jets, and you know, it kind of felt like you know what he was, and he was ideally a third safety. So I'm worried a little bit about the ceiling of that group, but I'm not. I really like the depth of that group. I think that has the opportunity to be a really deep group of guys that have some interchangeability. And I'll say this: you should not have the tackling issues you saw last year on the backs in the back of the defense with those two safeties that were back there last year. I'd be really surprised if the tackling issues that you saw were anywhere close to that this year, because between McMorris, Trader, he's a good tackler. Melifonwu's got a ton of length. So I think that is potential to be an improvement in that room, even if the ceiling and the all-around skill set of the room isn't quite what you are hoping to see when you knew they were going to remake the room in its entirety.
Kyle, last one for you. Quinn Hewers ends up another guy that kind of dropped. I thought he was going to go higher in the draft. I didn't see him as a seventh-round pick, and I was going to get your opinion on just a second. But you think if he knew – because he's got a $4 or $5 million contract on some college football teams if he leaves Texas and goes somewhere else, because Manning was going to start at Texas. You think he turns pro if he knows he's going in the seventh round and says, "It doesn't matter, I got to get my NFL career started," or he goes back and makes some money?
It's tough, and it might just for Quinn come down to whether he wanted to transfer or not, because that balloon with the name Manning on it was swelling so much, I don't think you were going to be able to keep it in the bag for
another year. Not a third
so,
year. No way.
So I guess that for him is the personal preference of, do you want to get in the portal and start jumping around, or would you rather just say, hey, I was a part of bringing Texas back to national prominence, and now it's time for me to make that next transition and chapter. And he's done well for himself, I'm sure, with the NIL already. So I can't speak. Everybody's a little different as far as how ready they are to make those decisions, you know?
Right. Well, listen, you want to get started at this thing, and he'll get a great opportunity here to, you know, with some other young guys to get a chance to play. How many starters do we have in this group? We talked about, you and I, even last month or so, we need 3, we need 4, we need 5 starters, and I'm going, right now I know I got 2. But I don't necessarily mean a guy that, like, starts the first play, but guys are going to be playing a lot on offense and defense. Could we have 4 or 5 guys in this group?
I'll say this for Jordan Phillips. I had a third-round grade on Phillips myself. And after night one, I did a day 2 mock for the 33rd team. And at 48, I had him taking Savanea. And at 98, I had him taking Jordan Phillips. So the fact that you got Phillips there at 143 – I'd consider him probably a 400-500 snap guy in a part of that defensive line rotation. Like, I kind of have that level of expectation for him. I think the point of attack stuff is really good. So I think you got 3 guys, the top 3 guys I have expectations are going to be taking meaningful top – what, Chop had like 500-600 snaps last year – like in that ballpark as the floor for the 2 guys on the defensive front.
Great.
And obviously you're expecting Savanea to be a starter for you at right guard.
Yeah, it has to for sure. Kyle, great stuff today, man. Really appreciate it. And all the great stuff you're doing on Locked On Fins podcast has just been excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, Kyle Crabbs, nice enough to join us this morning. We got a lot more stuff to get to here. Got to go to break. Bill Lindsay, Panthers radio analyst, going to join us at 9 o'clock. Chippy. I love those games. I wish Tampa Bay and Florida Panthers could play about 25 times. Air around the clock tonight. You're going to rock, rock, rock with Air Around the Clock, air conditioning and plumbing. Hey, let's get right to the good stuff, man, the numbers. The numbers of great service mean trained and certified technicians, 135 trucks on the road, 7 days a week, 35 years of experience. And we are the water heater kings of South Florida, as well as air conditioning unit kings. We got a warehouse full of them, and I mean hundreds and hundreds, all different sizes. So when your water heater blows or your air conditioning unit is dead and not coming back, you want somebody that can come in same day installation, grab an air conditioning unit or a water heater and get you taken care of in the same day. That's what they do. That's all they do, matter of fact. That's part of having all those trucks on the road every day, taking good care of you, same day installation, financing plans to help you out, licensed, experienced plumbers, and the best people for air conditioning, the best in the business. Certified technicians, been trained by Air Around the Clock themselves to make sure they know how to do it the right way. Still family owned and operated, ready for you. All you have to do the next time you have an air conditioning problem is go 1-888-349-6922 or 1-888-FIX-MY-AC. Tell them Joe Rose said that we're all related at Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing.